Live here in Newport Beach at the Real Estate Investor Co GP and JV Summit done by the Family Office Club and Richard C. Wilson, my partner at the CapitalRaiserShow.com, here with Julian Alexander. Welcome to the show, my friend. How are you doing?
Thank you. I'm doing great. Great to be here. Weather could be a little bit warmer, but you know, what's there to complain about? Great venue, great people. So I'm excited to be here.
It's better than the super hot heat of Phoenix. Where are you from, Julian?
The super hot heat of Dallas.
Oh, there you go. So now you get hot and muggy and an occasional snowstorm.
There you go.
All in the same place.
That's
depending
correct.
On the time of year. That's very cool. All right. So tell us a little bit about your background. How did you get into this thing that we call multifamily syndication?
Well, actually, I started in single family. I started in simple residential rental. It's just, I guess, a natural progression. The way to go was to scale your business. And the only way to truly scale your business and not scale your footprint was to go into multifamily. And that's what I did.
All right. So from single family, what did you do to transition into multifamily? And when you got into multifamily, was it right into syndication or did you do some JV stuff? Tell me about that transition.
Actually, my first foray into multifamily was into small multifamily early on, fourplexes, that side of the multifamily. I got into the larger properties back in the 2005, 2006 market. That was a way for us to scale, us meaning my wife and I, to scale our business. Our single family business was doing great, but it was too spread out and managing was much more difficult and arduous than I wanted it to be.
So as you're scaling, it's definitely easier when you have some partners or some people to help property manage versus yourself. But in terms of the actual investing that you were doing, you mentioned some fourplexes. I used to do a lot of fourplexes back in the day. And then I had this goal to buy, I guess it was 32 fourplexes or 128 units. And I shared this methodical plan on how I was going to buy a fourplex and then double my portfolio five times. And they're like, what's your end goal? I'm like 128 units and 25,000 of cash flow. And they're like, well, why don't you just take down the 128 units now? What's stopping you? And I'm like, well, I don't know how to do that. So they introduced me to this thing called syndication. Did you passively invest in your first syndication or did you?
Yes, I did. I actually started to passively invest as I kind of got my feet wet. I wanted to be exposed to this new concept that wasn't new as real estate investing as a whole, but it was the details of the actual owning and operating multifamily that I had no experience in. And so I thought the best way to go was to start as a passive investor.
Okay, cool. And then how did you find the team to do your first syndication as an active investor?
As in a lot of the real estate, when you first get into any kind of real estate, whether it's the flip houses, the buy and hold, there's always some kind of guru out there, right? There's always some kind of show that is either on TV or on the internet. There was a legitimate outfit out of Houston that I met and hooked up with. And they were a teaching and mentoring organization. And that's how I first started meeting other like-minded individuals. And I got my first passive investment done. And then I would say about a year later, I decided that, okay, I think I have enough or I know enough to be dangerous. And I started okay. I started into the actual syndication part of it. And so about a year, year and a half later, I hooked up with another gentleman and he and I led a syndication of 442 units in Dallas.
So you passively invested in a couple of deals and then your very first syndication was 442 units?
Correct.
Jeez, that's a big jump right there.
Well, it is, but you know, the process is the same, whether you're buying 50 units or buying 500 units, it's the same. The management and operation is the same, just bigger footprint and more people.
Yeah, some people think that it's actually easier to raise for a 400 unit deal than it is for a 50 or 60 unit deal. It is the same process. I would say it requires some mindset shift though, to be able to believe that you're even capable of doing something like that. For a lot of people who have never even purchased a $5 million property, they have to break through some limiting beliefs that prevent them from taking on a project of that magnitude. So what did you do in terms of conditioning your mind to believe that you could do that?
Because I had so many years of real estate experience, I knew the fundamentals of acquiring debt. And so those weren't really foreign to me. It was the piece that for me was missing was how to get other people of like mind to come on board my idea. And then once I was able to translate that vision, then it was much easier. Then people started writing checks.
That's great. So when it comes to helping people understand your vision and getting them in alignment with you, what did you do to start educating and nurturing your investors? Because raising capital for houses or small multifamilies in a joint venture kind of scenario is very different than what a limited partner might expect in terms of communication and understanding your business model.
For me, I've always been a people person. So I like to talk about things, not necessarily myself, although most people would say it's easy to talk about yourself. I like to talk more to people, and finding people that were like-minded, it was easy to then have synergy. It was easy to say, well, you know, this individual is trying to do the same thing I'm doing. I know that I am one, two, maybe five steps ahead of them. So really was not that difficult to translate a vision of a project into an actual business venture. But in terms of what you said, it's a single family is hard enough. You know, now to go to a large multifamily, I think actually it's a little easier because it's on a more professional basis. You've got legal forms, you've got contracts, you've got LLCs, you've got attorneys, you've got law firms, you've got CPA firms. And so people feel a lot more protected and confident when you have this much exposure to other professionals rather than just a one-on-one, hey, let's buy this house. You put up $50,000, I'll put $20,000 up and, you know, let's buy this thing. So it was a lot easier to get somebody on board.
You mentioned a little before the show that you had probably a database of around 1,700 investors. Does that sound right?
Presently, yes.
Presently. Okay, so how did you grow that so vastly? And it sounds like you also, we'll talk here in a second about growing now that you've gotten to this point, you want to continue to scale. But just from getting to where you currently are, how did you build that group of investors?
Well, again, going back to the organization that I said that I had, they have a very large number of, I guess, students, if you want to put it that way, people who want to learn the business. And so you just network through that organization, and some like it. It really, back in 2004, when I started with them, multifamily was not an area that your average investor got into. It was more for professionals. But post the 2008 recession, everybody who was well-educated and well-employed in Fortune 500 companies that were laid off were able to take those skill sets that they had and then transition into a real estate career, given that corporate America was not hiring. And there were a lot of properties on the market for sale that were either foreclosed on or could be gotten for pretty good prices. So a lot of people started to move into that space. So just by sheer networking, we started with a group of investors at 442 unit property. I believe at that point we had something in the order of 60 investors that all came in to buy that property. And then the subsequent properties, we had an additional, say, anywhere from a dozen to three dozen investors. So over time, you establish these relationships with people. And as long as you're producing, or as long as one is producing the results that the investors want, they'll stick with you. And fast forward to today, I would say 90% of our new investors that come to us are personal referrals from existing investors.
That's a great form of capital raising for sure. Now, what have you been doing in terms of multifamily? Where are you acquiring assets? What have you done since that first 442?
Well, since then, I've invested in thousands upon thousands of units myself. Currently, I've got investments in over 4,000 units. I am aligned with a company, Darwin German Real Estate Investments, and that is a company that was founded by Darwin German, who is a very good friend of mine. He is the reason that I have focused almost exclusively on multifamily real estate since I met him back in 2008. He was also syndicating at the time, and he and I had never done any business together. We finally came together on a couple of deals. And since I'm also a real estate broker and have quite a few contacts in the brokerage community, I started sourcing deal for his syndication business. And as the old saying goes, one thing led to another, and we eventually pooled our efforts. And my main role with Darwin is investor relations and sourcing deals for the company.
I'm curious about what you want to do for capital raising. Actually, you know what? I want to stop and ask you this question. What is it that you do? You do the investor relations. As you were growing, did you do anything else, any asset management, any property management, or was it just sourcing and communicating with your investors?
No, it was, I did no property management. It was all third-party property management. One of the things that I learned early on in my single family career was that I did not want to
property management. You mentioned that.
And so it was all third-party property management. So my main focus is not on site. In fact, I rarely go onto any of the properties that we own. Usually the times that I go onto the properties are before we acquire them and right before we're selling them. Mm-hmm. Other than that, we have our own in-house management company. Darwin German Real Estate Investments is a vertically integrated company. We have brokerage, we have investor relations, we have in-house legal, in-house accounting. We have audiovisual people, our IT people. We own our own corporate headquarters, which we're headquartered out of Irving, Texas, suburb of Dallas. We've got a 76,000 square foot office building that we purchased for our offices. Now, we don't occupy all 76,000 square feet. We have a large training room. That's where we also have investor meetings. That's where my main focuses are on a daily basis, not on the property management side.
Yeah, it sounds like you've scaled into a huge company. Is your idea with the company, or I should say, is it the focus of the company to keep these things long-term for 5 years? Are you syndicating and then getting your return of investor capital right back to them, or are you keeping any of these for long?
So our model is that we buy as a buy and hold investor. Our timelines or time horizons are 3 to 5 year holds, generally more the 5 year than the 3 year. And we are value add. So we'll take a property, we will infuse capital into the physical plant. At the same time, we're working on the property management side, optimizing the property management. So we're fixing the assets up physically. We're fixing the on-site management up, and we're raising rents as we renovate the units. And in generally in month 24 to 26, we're at a point where we have moved from what I would like to call full stabilization. Now we've raised the net operating income, and now we're able to take, refinance that property, do a cash out, take money out, return that back to the investors while still retaining the property. And then in an additional 2.5 to 3 years, then we sell the property. Our average rates of return have been what I think are quite impressive. Over the past 30 years, Darwin German Real Estate Investments has had 18%+ annualized rates of return to the investors.
That's really good.
In 2020 alone, when pandemic hit, we were still doing quite well. We were able to return $1.2 million of net operating income, raise our net operating income, thereby raising the value of the portfolio by $20 million, a little over $20 million, and returned a little over $3.5 million to investors in a year where everybody was paralyzed by a pandemic.
And you're mostly investing in Texas, or where else do you invest?
So we are primarily a Texas-centric investor, although we do have assets in Southern California and in the state of Hawaii.
Cool. And then, so we're at the Family Office Club event. Why did you come out here?
I like to think of myself more as, and I like to say this, I'm in the people business. Yep. I just happen to work in real estate. And this is a perfect opportunity to meet like-minded people, people who are doing things that I'm already doing, but at the same time, people who are in other areas that I can learn something from. Anytime I can get together with like-minded individuals and others who can share a little tidbit about their business that can help me raise my game to a different level, I'm going to be here. And there's no better place than Family Office Club.
So have you been participating with some of these events in the past?
I have. We've been a member of Family Office. In fact, we hosted their last event at our corporate headquarters.
Really?
In Irving, yes. If all goes well, they're going to continue to do their Dallas area events at our offices.
And that was just in April or March, right?
That's right. It was in April.
Excellent. Well, that's fantastic. I really love the Family Office Club. They now sponsor the show with their company called PitchDecks.com that handles all of the marketing for a lot of syndicators, actually 100+ investors that have been working with them. So that's very exciting.
Yeah, we're actually one of their clients on the
Pitch Deck. Really?
Yeah.
So what has PitchDecks done for you?
Well, one of the things that they have done for us, they allowed us to outsource a lot of stuff so that we don't have to work on it in-house. And they're great at what they do, so I don't want to reinvent the wheel. I'd rather have someone else do the work for me because I know it's going to be done correctly. And they've been phenomenal to work with. So that outsourced all our marketing stuff to them.
Yeah, they surprised me with all this swag. I got this new tablecloth and this banner behind you. And this is just very impressed with them so far. So excited to see what else they're going to be doing. And they're going to be actually taking over a lot of the video production for the Capital Razor show. So I'm excited to see how those come out, man. Really excited. Let's jump into the lightning round. I got some random questions for you.
Sure.
They're kind of fun. So we'll start with this. What's your favorite vacation that you've ever taken?
Favorite vacation, I would have to say, I like Europe, but the coolest spot I've spent most time in has been in Spain. I like Spain. I speak fluent Spanish.
De veras?
Specifically, I like Barcelona. It's a beautiful city that buildings, the streetscapes are not marred by fire escapes. So if you go to Manhattan and you see these beautiful buildings, and then you got all these fire escapes, and it just takes away from the facade of the building.
Barcelona is very beautiful. And then I didn't realize before I visited that they actually have a really big beach there too.
Oh, yeah.
All right. What's your favorite childhood memory?
Favorite childhood memory would have to be Easter. Easter was always one of my favorite holidays, given that we had a tradition in our neighborhood that we would all go to Memorial Park in Houston, Texas. And my best friend, he was my neighbor, a couple doors away in Memorial Park, big park with trees. I don't mean just random trees. I'm talking about just like some small forests. And we would have the traditional Easter egg hunt, the traditional cookouts, but then also the kids would go through the woods. Everybody was safe. Nobody ever got lost or kidnapped. We just had a blast, and we thought we were so cool getting away from all the adults and doing the things that kids do that I guess you're not supposed to.
How fun. That sounds like a blast. So short answer on this question, best way to raise capital from your perspective?
Best way to raise capital is do what you say you're going to do. Be 100% transparent and just be genuine and honest, and remember that the money that you are responsible for is not yours. When people get that and they know that you're truly responsible for their money and are going to adhere to that, it's easy.
Being a good steward is the way to go. I love that. How long do you want to live?
I want to live until I'm no longer viable. I don't want to get to a point where I'm no longer able to physically or mentally participate in life. At that point, I'm gone.
Do you imagine that to be like 80, 100, 120?
I have no idea how long it would be, but I cannot imagine being 100 or 100 plus. So I think I probably have about another 10 to 15 good solid years. After that, I'm just going to coast.
All right, cool. Do your spiritual philosophies have anything to do with your success in business?
Oh, without a doubt. I'm a firm believer in a higher being. I believe in God. I believe that without principles that I learned as a child and that I adhere to as an adult, those are my guiding principles.
And what do you do to elevate yourself in terms of creating greater success?
Constantly surround myself with people who are at a higher level than I am.
Yeah.
I find that if I stay with people at my level or below, and I don't mean that in the derogatory, I'm talking about in business, that I will stay there too. I will remain stagnant.
Are you a father by chance?
I have one daughter.
So what do you love best about being a dad?
Being a grandfather.
Oh, that's gotta be amazing. All right, so last question is brought by Shanna Amigo, one of our great listeners of the show. She wants to know, what kind of impact would you like to leave in the world?
I would like to leave a very simple impact that anybody who has had any kind of dealing or relationship with me will be able to say that it was a positive, that I made a positive impact on their life, whether it's personal or financial.
Excellent answers on the lightning round. Shout out to the Capital Razor Nation. Thanks for tuning in. Please leave us a 5-star written review. And shout out to our sponsors, Good Egg Investment, Syndication Pro, Kaitin Patel, Jerome Myers, and newly Richard C. Wilson in the family office in Pitch Deck. So check those guys out at thecapitalrazorshow.com to get discounts on all of your favorite brands. So Julian, how does the audience get a hold of you?
The audience can reach me at Julian, J-U-L-I-A-N, at DarwinGerman.com. That's Julian at DarwinGerman.com.
Well, this has been a lot of fun on the show. Do you have any last words of wisdom for the aspiring capital raiser as they're scaling in their business?
Again, remember, you're in the people business. You only work with real estate.
It's all about relationships. I love it. All right, Matt. Well, this has been a blast. Thank you so much for coming on the show. With that, we're going to sign off from this amazing event. Hope you guys get to check it out next time around. With that, we'll sign off.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.